Indeed.com.
All right, so we're wrapping up our mini-series on relationships this morning. We've been talking about a closer look at relationships, and we're going to look at the final two kinds of relationships that we mentioned we'd be covering in the series. But before we do that, I want to once more recap the where we've been in 1 Peter, because it all kind of leads up to the verses that we're looking at this morning. So 1 Peter 2, it says this about us as followers of Jesus, that we are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. We're also called a chosen race and a holy nation and a royal priesthood and a people of God's own possession. Like, we belong to him. But we belong to him for a reason, and there's a purpose for all of this. And that purpose is to proclaim the excellencies of God, right? To proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he's saved us, he's rescued us, and he wants us then to make him known, proclaim his excellencies. And I think that's important to remember, because as we've been talking about in this relationship series, that we didn't want to just look at a whole bunch of different goals, but one primary goal for all relationships, and that one goal for all relationships is to proclaim God's excellencies in them and through them, right? So that's been kind of our goal, really, is to look at that during this series. Now, Peter said that, look, we do that, we proclaim his excellencies in a number of ways. First of all, he said when we submit to human institutions and our masters, in other words, rulers and authorities, we covered that. We do that when we submit to one another as wives and as husbands. They're submitting to one another in that way. We do that within our relationships as singles, we talked about, and we talked about that within our faith community, relationships within our faith community. And we that brings us to this morning, where we do that as well with our relationships outside of our faith community, with those living in the world around us. And that's kind of our focus for this morning. So as we continue in 1 Peter, 1 Peter 3, verses 9 through 12 is kind of the focus this morning. 1 Peter 3, 9 through 12 says this: "Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Now, when Peter writes this, he's quoting, not directly, but in a paraphrasing kind of way, from Psalm 34, right? That's where we would recognize this from. If we were familiar with all of the Old Testament scriptures, people would be like, oh, Psalm 34. And he's being used, I think, here to emphasize this key idea. And this is kind of our key idea for this morning. Is this: we are supposed to, right? We're supposed to live right. We're called to that, and to bless others. We do that. So I want to just focus on those for a moment. We need to live right. That's the first thing. And he gives some examples here. Keep your tongue from evil. Don't speak lies. Turn away from evil and wickedness. And then he says, instead, do good. Seek and pursue peace. Live in a way that is right before the Lord. Righteousness is what he's shooting for. And so as I was reading this, I was thinking of what Jesus said, this idea of living right. What Jesus said and talked about in Matthew 5, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And he said this: "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Salt that isn't salty in the right way is not savory to anyone. It's not good for food. It's only good for basically throwing on the footpath, right? Killing weeds and plants that take over the footpath. So I was thinking about this, like maybe if Jesus were giving a modern day version of this analogy in a Wisconsin winter setting, especially like a week or two ago, maybe the analogy would be something like this. Like there's salt that's useful for food, helps the food taste flavorful. Like put a little salt on your fries, right? Perfect. It tastes really, really good. But if that salt loses its salt, it's good for melting snow, right? It's only good for the sidewalk. You wouldn't take sidewalk salt and put it on your fries if they were a little bland, right? That would be pretty disgusting, especially if it's the fake stuff. But, you know, like you wouldn't, you take a bite of your fries and instead you start crunching on a big chunk of rock salt. Like that isn't going to work. So don't lose your flavor that you are supposed to have as a follower of Christ. Stay salty in the right way. Because when your saltiness or the flavor of your faith is good, you're going to be useful and satisfying to others who taste what you're putting out there. However, if you're meant to be table salt and you lose your flavor, you also lose your usefulness. And you'll no longer be any good, as it says, as Jesus says, good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So as a follower of Jesus, when you lose that flavor, that proper saltiness, because you aren't walking closely with him, or you're stepping out of line, people will walk all over you. And that might seem like a harsh statement at first, but think about it. When you stop following Jesus in the way that you're supposed to, you say you're a follower of Jesus, you proclaim that you're following Jesus, but you're not doing what he says. You're not looking to be who he called you to be. And you step out of line, it makes you a hypocrite, right? And if that's the life we live, we're going to be treated pretty harshly by others and the world around us, and probably rightly so, right? Recently, we've seen a number of notable Christian leaders and ministry organizations and things like that who we find out there's people in there living these double lives, having these secret sins, whether it's extramarital affairs or sexual abuse, alcohol or drug addictions that are going on behind the scenes, sometimes child pornography, embezzlement. I mean, we're hearing about stuff that just comes out that is just so wrong. These individuals would certainly qualify as those whose saltiness has been lost, wouldn't it? And now look what people are saying about them. Look at the damage it's causing, right? They're being shunned, they're being rejected, they're being ostracized, they're being ripped apart. I believe Jesus said, trampled underfoot. That's exactly what happens when we live outside of what God has called us to be and do. And now while these are very public figures, we all have to be careful and be sure we're living the kind of life that Jesus has in mind for us, because if we aren't, people will trample all over us too. It might not get played out in the news. It might not be that public, but it will be equally painful and damaging to the kingdom, right? So make sure you don't lose your saltiness, Jesus says. We're supposed to live right. We're supposed to live right. And consequently, we're supposed to be a blessing to others. Peter says, bless, for to this you were called. To this you were called. I think it's interesting, you know, Jesus called himself the light of the world. John 8:12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus is the light of the world, but he also says, if you have me, you'll have the light of life as well. You are the light of the world. That's what he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, right? After he talked about not losing your saltiness, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We know Jesus. He is the truth. He is the light of the world, and he's dwelling in us. We're meant to be a reflection of that to the world around us. The light within us is meant to be shared with others. Don't hide that light under a bushel. Don't. You're like a city on a hill. You can't keep it hidden. Make sure it's visible to everyone around you. Be a blessing to others. Bless, for to this you were called. So we are supposed to live right and bless others. Right? We're supposed to live right and be a blessing to others. And I think this key idea is important when it comes to the two groups that we're finishing up with this morning. Okay, our neighbors, which is also going to include our coworkers, and our acquaintances or strangers. So it, like I said in the email, it's kind of like four groups but rolled into two. All right. So the first one we'll look at just for a few minutes on each of these. The first one is your neighbors, the people in your neighborhood. Take a look. All right, so in case you didn't catch that online, can you pull that picture up? Yeah, there you go. We put that picture on there. Anyone ever have that conversation? Right, you're holding your child and the guy next door is holding his chicken, his rooster, hen. It's interesting. Maybe it's, I don't know. That was just one that popped up when it talked about neighbors. It's interesting. I've never had that one, but I thought it was cool. All right, so people in your neighborhood, your neighbors, and also your coworkers are included in this. These are people that you, we can take that down. Yeah, we don't need it to be a distraction anymore, right? These are people that you're in close proximity to on a regular basis. Like, we've got to consider, what does it look like to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus to them? And if you think about it, when it comes to our neighbors or our coworkers, oftentimes, they are almost exclusively our mission field, right? I mean, we have our faith community. That's not really our mission field, right? We're followers of Jesus. So we're not aiming for each other. We're not trying to share the gospel with each other so much. Maybe in your family, a lot of the people in your family might be followers of Christ as well, maybe not, and then of course they're your mission field, but when it comes to our neighbors and our coworkers, typically these are the people who we have the opportunity to influence and lead toward Christ. And the question is, of course, do we see it that way? Right? Is that what we're like thinking about when we think about the people in our neighborhood and at work? Because if we do, it changes how we approach things. You know, it's interesting. I have one set of neighbors who like never leave their house, right? I'm not talking about just because it's below zero or because of COVID or anything like that. That's just standard operating procedure for them. Now, I try to do some things that share Christ's love with them, right? Like I'll snow blow the driveway, take their garbage out, bring their cans back in, that sort of thing. Just try to show Christ's love to them the best that I can. But it's hard when so rarely do I ever get a chance to actually talk with them. Well, as followers of Jesus, each of us are called to share the gospel with the people around us, right? Which means, while some people might choose to stay indoors, put up fences, not leave their home, avoid the people in their neighborhood, that can't be us. Right? As followers of Christ, that can't be our mode of operation. We have a message to share. And it's a message that they need to hear. And you can't share that if you don't interact with them in some way and make the effort to. But it goes beyond just trying to interact with them, right? Unless you're spending time with them around a fire, having a dinner, sitting down for coffee, they're pretty much still just acquaintances. And I would like to suggest that if you really want to begin to speak into someone's life and to share Jesus, you have to be shooting for friendship with them, building that relationship the best that you can. It's the same thing with coworkers, right? If you're the hide in my office or cubicle person, I'm just going to keep my head down, do my job. I'm going to stick to myself. I'm not really going to engage with others. I mean, that might make you seem like the ideal employee, but I'm not sure it makes you ideal as a Christian. Right? As a follower of Jesus, you have a job to do that's far more important than the one you're being paid for. Okay, we've got to keep that in mind. If we really want to invest in someone and share Jesus with them, make sure you find time or try to make time to spend with them outside of work. Move beyond coworker status. Build a friendship with them, right? It might give you that opportunity to share. We've got to do what we can to share Jesus with our neighbors and with our coworkers, with the people around us. Don't hide behind our four walls or our fences. Don't hide behind the panels of our cubicle. We're called to proclaim God's excellencies to them, to our neighbors, and to our coworkers, and in those relationships we have. Okay? So that's our neighbors, coworkers. What about strangers and acquaintances? And we're going to look at this one really briefly. There's no song for this one. You're welcome. They're getting a little hard to go through. But despite our best efforts to move towards friendship with those around us, some people are just never going to be more than acquaintances to us. There are many people in our lives who we will likely never see again, right? We're just passing by. It's not likely we're ever going to have a deeper relationship with them. But even to them, we're still meant to be like the salt of the earth, Jesus says. We're meant to be a light in our world. We're meant to be a blessing. Again, Peter says, bless, for to this you were called. So think about this. There is no greater blessing that we can share than the hope of salvation with those who have not yet responded to Jesus. Right? If we're called to bless others, we can do that in a lot of ways, but there is no greater blessing than to share the hope of salvation with someone who does not yet know Jesus. I mean, think about that. What greater thing, what greater blessing could you give than that? This last week, it was really cool. I got a text from my daughter, Emily, and she was talking about a conversation that she had. She's like, look, Dad, we were doing this book, and I was having a conversation about it with somebody else, and they were really interested in what Jesus was all about. Like, they had a church background, but they really weren't a Christian. And so we got to talking, and I had a chance to, like, share the gospel with her and pray with her, and she made a commitment to Christ. She came to be a follower of Jesus. She's like, it was so cool. I've never gotten to do that before, but this opportunity was here. And she's like, and you should have saw the joy on her face when she finally got it, when she finally connected with Christ. I mean, when it comes to sharing the gospel and people coming to faith in Christ, what greater thing could we give anyone else? Does it get any better than that? No, it doesn't. And yet, when it comes to strangers and acquaintances, sometimes the best tool we have is the life we live, right? The life we live out before them. Because if our life is salty in the right way, it will point people to Jesus. We'll be living right, and it will be a blessing to others. We'll be proclaiming God's excellencies in those relationships. Now, whether they respond to Jesus' love or not, that's beyond our control. I get that. But we've got to do our part. So when it comes to these relationships, they need to see Jesus in us. We're going to kind of close this series with an illustration. And it's one that I think maybe helps picture this a bit. And here's kind of the idea of the illustration. You know, this is you and me. This is how we're supposed to look. Like, we have Jesus within us, and we are a vessel. Now, a lot of times, until we know Christ, we are the empty vessel, right? This is what we're like. There's no Jesus in us. And even as followers of Christ, we can be pretty empty sometimes. And one of the problems is that a lot of times we unfortunately choose to, well, we choose to fill our life with things that we're not supposed to, right? We make choices we aren't supposed to. We make decisions we aren't supposed to. And each time, it changes who we are inside, and it affects what people see in us. So, for instance, we tell a little lie. Or spread some gossip. We might slander someone or belittle them. Whether it's someone we know or someone we don't know. We treat someone disrespectfully, like wish them ill will. We say something crude or demeaning toward them. We make a comment about them on Facebook, Twitter. Better dump a few extras in there for that. Right? Maybe we show a little road rage. Curse word or two. A rude attitude towards a waiter or waitress. Or maybe the grocery store clerk. The phone company, right? Maybe there's a crude comment about a woman that we see or a guy that we see. Maybe it's that TV show that you probably shouldn't be watching or the website that you're clicking on that you know is not where you're supposed to be. And maybe it's more than just like once or twice that that's happened in your life, but it's like an addiction. Right? It's something bigger than that. Maybe it's the so-called innocent flirting you do with a coworker or neighbor. Unless they're single, and so are you, right? That might just be sending out signals if they love Jesus, right? If you missed that, go back and listen to last week when he talked about singles, right? Maybe it's having one too many beers, or a lot of times, way too much. Maybe it's having one too many cookies, or a lifestyle that does that, struggles with that. We let our prayer life slip, not really listening or following God's word. We're not really seeking Him. It's not all that important to us that we're making sure we're living like He's called us to, and on and on and on and on. We're supposed to look something like this. Pure, clean. But instead what people see is all this stuff inside of us that is not meant to be there. Like, there are so many things that we let rule our lives. Do good. Live right. Be a blessing to others. That's not what we see here. We're a reflection of those things that take place in our life, the decisions that we make, things that we let take root within us. And if this is what it looks like for us as so-called Christian, if that's our so-called Christian life, if it looks like this, we're definitely not living right and we're not going to be a blessing to others. There's only really one thing that can make us pure and whole again, and that's Jesus. To be filled with Him. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Right? Whoever believes me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He was talking about his spirit, the Holy Spirit that he puts within us, that's poured out to all of us who believe. Now, when we come to him and we surrender to him, he's the one who starts to fill us up. Now, at first, you know, we spend some time with him. We're getting to know him. There's something going on, but we don't really see much of a difference, at least not instantly. But the more that he pours into our life, right, the more that we let him take control of our life, the more we let him fill us up, things start to change. And he starts to move things out of our lives that are not supposed to be there. As he starts to fill us up more, as we let him, these other things start to fall away. And it might even make a lot of noise. Right? Now, I think here's one of the issues that for those of us who've been followers of Christ for a long time or for a while, this is how it often looks. And this is where it stops for us. Like, yeah, we're letting Christ fill us up, but only to a point. Because there's things in our life, we don't really want him to clear that out. We're kind of okay with some of this stuff. You know, like, this malice or contempt toward someone or authority or whatever. Maybe it's that grudge we want to hold against people. Maybe it's that habit that we don't want to give up. We don't want to let it break us. So it just stays there. And people don't see this. They see this. They see what's on top. They don't see what's really going on inside because this is what's visible to them. Now, that's not to say there isn't grace for that, there isn't mercy for that, because there is. But if this is what they see, they're never going to believe us. But here's the thing. As we continue to let Jesus fill us up, if we're willing to let him fill us up completely, then guess what? There's no room for any of this other stuff. Right? And, you know, yeah, there's a few things left on top here, but here's the deal. When we are filled up completely with Christ, the enemy is going to throw things at us. A lot of it's going to bounce off. Right? There's nothing that can penetrate. It can't sink deep. It's only going to hit us on the surface because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what he longs for from us. Right? When the enemy comes and tries to attack us, to get us to bite, to throw fiery darts, to throw temptations our way, it doesn't sink. It doesn't stick because we have the Holy Spirit within us. We're allowing Jesus to fill us up completely. And there's no room for that as he continues to work on us. When it comes to our relationships and proclaiming God's excellencies in them and through them, the more he fills us up, the more we have to be able to give to others. And the more of Jesus they're going to see in us. I could hypothetically ask how many of us want that this morning, but I'm going to bet that it's every single one of us. Right? That's what we want. That's what we desire. And so we're going to pray. And then we're going to wrap things up here. But let's pray that God would be the one filling us up, that we'd be willing to allow him to do that and not to let these other things mark our lives, so that this is what people can see. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you as your children, as your what you call a holy nation, a royal priesthood, your people, God, your children. And we know that we're not looking like this. We know that we're not completely pure and clean, and we're not a perfect reflection of your Holy Spirit living within us, but we want to be. And so we ask your forgiveness for the things in our life that we know are causing issues for us, that we know don't look like what you want them to look like, things that do not reflect your heart, your life, your spirit, your work in us. They are not good things. They are not living right, and we confess that to you. God, we confess it to you, and we ask for your forgiveness, and we know that you give it to us. And we pray that you would fill us up more completely. That as you do that, you would remove these things from our life, that we would reflect you with all of our heart. And that would spill over into every relationship in our life, whether it's our love relationship or our marriage, dating, engaged. God, whether it's our singles relationships and the relationships we have with other people, whether it's in our faith community, whether it's with our family, our friends, or with the strangers and acquaintances, our neighbors, our coworkers, let them see you. That's our prayer this morning. Thank you for hearing us, God. Thank you for hearing us.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.